The scripture today is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
And last week, Pastor Bill talked about the Lordship of God, Adonai. And just to have one name to describe God is not enough. That's why we have going through the series, because God is so big that one name cannot contain everything. Last week, Pastor Bill talked about Adonai, the Lord, his master. And today we're going to talk about Jehovah Rohi, the Lord's shepherd. Even though God is Lord, he's a good master. He's responsible for our lives and we are accountable to him. But he is our shepherd. And that's a relationship here. All the names of God, there is a relationship. And all of them are interconnected. And Daryl Johnson actually have a series on the on this Psalms 23rd. And it's more than just one sermon or one topic. It's many, many, because it's so rich. And today is kind of cold, so I still leave my coat on. It's kind of like the weather changes. Let's have a word of prayer before we dig into this Psalm 23rd. Lord, we thank you for this morning, for your goodness in our lives. And Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd. And even as we dig deep into this passage, I pray that you speak to us, each one of us, whatever our need is, however our journey, our relationship with you are. Lord, you will bring revelation, epiphany. You will enlighten us so that our relationship is drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. David was not the first person to call God shepherd. Jacob, his name later on changed to Israel, he also called God his shepherd. In Genesis 48, verse 15, he said, he blessed Joseph, one of his sons, and he said, may the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walk faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. So Jacob also called God his shepherd. And there are many, many passages in the Bible that call God shepherd. And Israel's king is also called shepherd. You shepherd my people Israel. And today, even pastors, church leaders are also often called shepherd, because the role of the shepherd is to lead, to watch over, to feed, to supervise the sheep. Now, we all know Psalms 23rd is written by David, but we do not know exactly when he wrote the psalm. It could be later on in his life. Many people have come to know Psalms 23rd and maybe the Lord's Prayer. It's often quoted in funeral. And I remember when my grandmother, before she passed away, there was a phone call right in the morning, and it's like 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. Her breathing is getting very heavy, and the doctor called my dad, and my dad rushed to the hospital, and she was struggling with her last breath. And my dad read Psalms 23rd to her. And my dad says, she said, amen, amen, and then she just went home to be with God. Psalms 23rd is well-loved, well-known, and it's a very beautiful poetry. Now, David, when he wrote Psalms 23rd, he used the metaphor of sheep and shepherd, but he comes with the perspective of he is the sheep riding from the angle of the sheep. He is not talking as God the shepherd and God saying, I am this, I am that, but David wrote it as a response to his relationship with God and his dependence on God. David's life is marked by a lot of hardship. As a shepherd boy, we don't have that vocation, but he endured a lot of physical hardship. He withstand the heat of the day, the cool of the night, and even danger at night. And he was very responsible for his sheep. But later on, when he was anointed king, and then there was another king in place, King Saul, and people estimated he ran away from King Saul for an estimated of 7 to 8 years. He was on the run constantly as a fugitive. His life was hard. And then when he finally became king, you think everything is settled. He had to run away from his own son. And then he fought many wars. His life was constantly in danger. Therefore, when David wrote Psalms 23, it was very personal. It was real. He was aware of his helplessness and need. He felt like a sheep under the care of this great shepherd. And he began with, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything." The name Lord, this Lord, capital L-O-R-D, as we talked a few weeks ago, it's the same Lord, Yahweh, the great, the one that is existent, the self-existing one, the Yahweh, the Jehovah, and later we now know as L-O-R-D, capital. This Lord is our shepherd, is my shepherd. He is acknowledging God as the one who will meet all his needs. David saw that how God watched over all his needs over all his lifespan, and as long as God is his shepherd, he will not lack anything. He speaks with such confidence, such trust, and he did not say, I will not lack anything, but David said, I shall not lack anything. And in some Bible verses, it just simply say, I lack nothing. It's very simple. I lack nothing because till today, till the end of David's life, he lacked nothing. As long as God is our shepherd, we will not lack anything. Now, David also emphasized, the Lord is my shepherd. He did not say the Lord was. It's the Lord is. He still is. And the Lord is my shepherd. It's a very personal relationship. Faith, trust in God is not corporate. Although we come to church in a group of us, an assembly, a congregation, but God wants to be very personal. And David say, God is my shepherd. It's an individual relationship. It's not God is your shepherd, therefore he can be mine. It's our or my personal shepherd. And there was this illustration of a young boy. He was dying, and he still couldn't speak very well, so his mother tried to teach him, the Lord is my shepherd. And the mom just used the five fingers of one hand and said, the Lord is my shepherd. And when it came to mine, the mom said, well, you can't speak it, but when you come to mine, that's your fourth finger that is closest to your heart. Use the other hand, use it and put your whole hand and put it like a fist, because God is your shepherd and God will protect you. And then one day, the mom came late to visit him, but he died. But the mom saw the boy holding on the last finger with his fist because he trusted in Jesus as his Savior. He died in his shepherd's hand. In order for God to be our shepherd, we must recognize that we are his sheep. Now, shepherds pay a lot of price for one sheep, to own one sheep. And once the shepherd owned them, the shepherd will actually snip a hole in the ear of the sheep and mark it, put a tag on the sheep. And if the sheep wanders or if the sheep get lost, the shepherd can actually locate the sheep. And if it's among other flock and all that, the shepherd can actually locate it. And when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, when we have a relationship with God, God also put a mark on us. We belong to Him. We today, we do not understand the responsibility of shepherd and sheep and the natural instinct of sheep. But we do not know a lot of people that are shepherds today. But we all know that good shepherds are committed to the welfare of the sheep. And David, when he wrote Psalms 23, verse 1 to 6, the chapter is kind of divided into two sections. Verse 1 to 3, David looked at the shepherd's providence, his provision for the sheep. And then verse 4 to 6, we'll talk about God's protection. Let's look at verse 1 to 3 first. David said, God makes him lie down in green pasture. He leads him beside quiet waters. Now, contrary to what we believe, we always think sheep are dumb animals, but sheep are actually quite intelligent, kind of. They have good memory, they have excellent memory, and there is this researcher from the University of Cambridge. They actually did experiment on sheep, and they did this recognition thing. They realized sheep can recognize faces and other sheep up to 2 years. So they put a picture of faces and call the name of the person, and the sheep can respond to the names and the faces. And sheep, if a shepherd wants to gather the flock, the sheep also can recognize the shepherd's voice. Let's say a shepherd wants to gather the flock of sheep, and they were sometimes in a large holding pen. And the shepherd will walk into one of his own pen and call his own sheep, and the sheep will actually follow him. Sheep can recognize faces, they can recognize voices. And sheep also feed on growing pastures, shrubs, and grass. But in order for sheep to survive, they like to band together to in large number for protection. So sheep is not like gazelle or deer where they can run, they have speed. But for them, protection is in numbers. If you want to get one sheep to go one way, you get a few sheep to go one way and the rest of the sheep will follow. This is the natural instinct of sheep. But Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Because Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman, they have wandered away. We also have wandered away because sheep are like that. When one wander away, we all wander away. That's why we need the shepherd. For sheep to go anywhere, they have to be led because sheep are followers. Sheep would not go anywhere if another sheep has not gone first. So good shepherd leads the sheep. And they lead them to lie down in green pasture and quiet, clean water. Here's an interesting fact about sheep. They are highly nervous. They are edgy animals. They cannot relax until they are very assured. So in order to make them lie down, they have to have certain trust on the shepherd. So for the shepherd to cause the sheep to lie down, actually the shepherd also lie down next to them. The shepherd will lie down next to them. And in this verse, when David talked about the sheep, the shepherd making the sheep lie down, the shepherd actually lied next to the sheep. And he actually goes a step further. He put his arm around the sheep, pull it against its chest, and it whispers the sheep's name, comfort it, encourage it, hold it firmly, gently. And when the sheep is relaxed, the sheep can gaze and among the grass area. When the sheep feel relaxed, secured, he felt the protection and love of the shepherd. This is what the shepherd do. And sometimes, I don't know, our Christian walk is not all smooth. And David's journey is not all smooth. Sometimes we are worn out. We are tired. We carry our burden. We have trouble in school. We have trouble at home. We have trouble at work. But to know that God knows your name, God wants to make you lie down. He will first be the first person to lie down next to you. And he whispers your name. And he gently holds you. Will you take the time to lie down with him? Will you take the time to trust in him? How is your journey? In the book of Psalms, we talk about Yahweh is the shepherd. But in the New Testament, Jesus said he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd in John chapter 10 verse 11 says, the good shepherd laid down his life. Not only did he lie down and comfort you, but he laid down his life for us. And in 1 Peter 1 verse 18 and 19, he said, he did not just lay down his life, he did not just bought us, but he bought us not with pieces of gold and silver, but with his own life. Isaiah 40 verse 11 said, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those that have young. God is described as the shepherd because he truly cares for us. And 15 times in Ezekiel chapter 34, God is referred to as a shepherd seeking the lost sheep, binding the brokenhearted, strengthening the sick, and feeding them. This is the nature of God. When the Bible describes God is love, it's not that God has love, but God is indeed truly love. Out of him flows so much love. God not only provides for us salvation, he provides for us for every need that we have. He provides himself for us. He is the bread of life that comes down from heaven. He also provides his spirit for us to live inside us. And that is what shepherd does. The second thing is he restores our soul. Restore refers to he reinstates us. He refreshes us. God is not only concerned about our physical need. You know, our clothing, what we wear, what we feed, what we need, what our job, our education. He is also concerned about our soul, our emotion, our mental, physical, and every part of our spiritual being, every part. And restoration of the soul is also a response to what he gives. We need to rest in his presence. In order to restore our soul, we need to find rest in him. We need to reflect and look at life from his perspective. And we need to replenish ourselves by being fed in his word. When God gives everything to us, it's a love relationship. He gives, but we need to also respond. And how is our response, our reciprocation? By going back to him or running away from him? Has your soul been restored recently? The next verse talk about he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God guides us individually in the path of righteousness. Shepherds knows that sheep are prone to wandering. Sheep are prone to making the wrong turn, making bad and unwise decision. And in every turn, in every decision, the great shepherd wants to direct us back to the right path. David knew this. When he wrote this, he knew that. In Psalm 51, he talked about his sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he saw this beautiful woman bathing, and then he lusted for her, and then he committed adultery with her. And then after that, to cover up his sin, he murdered her husband. But then God loves him so much, he sent the prophet Nathan to rebuke him. And when he realized that he was the one committing this grave sin, he said, I have sinned. And what did God say? Your sins are forgiven. And this is the shepherd. He leads us in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. I remember one time when I was a teenager, I wanted to make this trip to America. And my father said, no. But I went ahead anyway. So I disobeyed my dad. And I felt sick throughout my whole trip. After 2 days, I was vomiting, having a fever. Whatever I took medication, I couldn't swallow it because I was vomiting. So I had gastric problem because I couldn't take anything in. I knew what disobedience felt like. It's because I knew I disobeyed. I outrightly disobeyed my father. And I know that when I pray, God wouldn't hear me, because my relationship with him is severe. But in God in his mercy, I recovered, but I understood what it felt like to disobey God. God was grieved, God was saddened, and God rebuked me. And God, in his mercy, led me back the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And verse 4 to 6, now David turned to God's protection. God's protection from what? From the valley of the shadow of death, from evil, from the enemies. Now, a valley is a place between two mountains. A valley, two mountains, and then the valley. Most of us like to go on a mountain, on the mountaintop. And when we do hikes, we kind of say, oh, we brag about, we have gone to the summit and we see this beautiful view. We talk about the mountaintop experience. Mountaintops are when our job is good, our health is good, our family is good, our finances are good, our faith is good. We are on the mountaintop. But we cannot travel from mountain to mountain. In order from one mountain to another mountain, we have to go down the mountain and go through the valley. Mountains are separated by valley. So valleys are inevitable. Valleys will come to us. Valleys, however, remind us that there is another mountain ahead of us. And David say, we will walk through the valley. We will walk through the valley. And when the sun shines and at a certain angle, the mountain will cast a shadow on the valley. And sheep will think that nighttime is approaching. So let's say the sun is on noon, it will cast no shadow. But when the sun is on the maybe 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock, the sun will cast a shadow into the valley. And sheep, or all of us, will think that nighttime is coming and there will be danger lurking around. So the shepherd's job is to lead the sheep to go from the valley to the other side. And even though it's fearful, even though maybe danger might be lurking, but the shadow is just a shadow. When I was, I had three pregnancies, but I have two kids. So I had one miscarriage, and I talk about this a few times already, but during my second pregnancy, which is Uriel, when I was 22 weeks pregnant, I started to have contraction. And it was very severe. It's not just minor, it was very severe. I thought I had infection. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor didn't even check me. I said, I think I have urinary infection, and she just gave me medication. But then the contraction couldn't go away. I couldn't sit, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't even lie down, and I went back, and they realized it was contraction. So they give me a jab, they give me oral medication, and sent me home. But it didn't stop. And for three times, I went to the hospital, and the third time, they hospitalized me. So while I was in the hospital, this doctor came to me and said, oh, I think what you're having is nature's way of saying that you're going to have a miscarriage. And because I had one miscarriage, and this time, of course, I want a child, right? And this time, fear start to flood into my mind because I am going to lose this child. I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But because God suddenly brought this verse up to me and said, it's only a shadow of death. And suddenly God just assured me it's not death itself. It was only a shadow. So with that, I cling on this Bible verse and I said, God, you're going to bring me through. And the medication stayed on me until I was 36 weeks and I delivered Uriel right at 36 weeks. Once they took off the medication, I couldn't stop my contraction. That was how bad it was. But I was in the States and they have all the technology. If I was in Singapore, I have to be in the hospital for that 3 months. So God was so merciful. And Oswald Chambers said, this is how a valley looks like, between two mountains. But Oswald Chambers said, until we come face to face with the deepest, darkest fact of life, without changing our views of God's character, we do not yet know him. When God allows us to be in the valley of the shadow of death, which is a very severe affliction, where things are dark and you just want to give up, remember that God does his best work even in the dark. As he guides us through some of the darkest time, we can actually sometimes see him more clearly when we focus more intently on him. And some of the things I learn of the character of God is through the valley. And two things are true of shadows. Without light, there will not be any shadow. So even in the shadow, God's presence is there because there is light. And shadow cannot harm. Shadow only causes fear. David did not deny the reality of the shadow of death. But in spite of everything, God, because God is omniscient, God is everywhere, God's presence is always with us. But the fact is, it's the path of righteousness does not protect us. We think, oh, because I'm godly, therefore I'm protected from the evil one. Our righteousness, our justification, our walk with God, everything, all that we think we are godly, that does not protect us. It's only the presence of God that protects us. God's presence is everywhere, and He gives us comfort, He gives us security, so that the valley of a shadow of death cannot touch us. And David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they protect me. So the thing that protects us is also his rod and his staff. Now, Palestinian shepherds, they carry two items with them. The rod, which is like a club size, you know, can hammer, you know, the enemy. So the rod represents the club that will beat up the external enemy. And the staff is the thinner crook. And it's to pull out the sheep when the sheep gets caught. And it's to protect the sheep. And it's for inner protection from our wandering. So God protects us from the external enemy. And also God protects the sheep from the wandering, from the way we want to stray away from God. And Luke chapter 15 talks about God, the good shepherd, leaving the 99 sheep. And I love that song. Leaving the 99 sheep. We are the one sheep that have gone astray, but God's staff comes and pull us out from our own wandering. And God also say, my sheep hears my voice, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The shepherd will use his rod to fend off the enemies and his staff to pull off the sheep from the bushes if it gets caught. We are safer in the valley with God in it than elsewhere without God. And Daniel, in the book of Daniel, right? He was in the lion's den. But because he knows God will protect him, he could sleep even in the lion's den with all the lion prowling around him, about to devour him. But God shuts up the mouth of the lion. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he was staying up awake, couldn't sleep, worrying all night long about Daniel. But Daniel was in the valley of the shadow of death, and he feared no evil. God also prepares a table in the presence of our enemies, and he anoints our head with oil, our cups overflow. The enemy can be a person, it can be a situation, it can be circumstances, it could be sicknesses, it could be death, it could be anything that is bad. Yet the psalmist says, David says, God prepares a feast in the plain view of our enemy. Now the shepherd in the Palestinian days, they usually carries a cloth with a belt. And inside the cloth, he will put soft grass. So when he finds a sheep that is lost and kind of rescue the sheep, he will actually spread this cloth out for the sheep to eat. So maybe the sheep has gone astray for many days or got hurt and all that. But when the shepherds found the shepherd prepares a meal for the sheep. And the sheep could graze on this soft, fresh grass. Because maybe the surrounding could be full of thorn bushes and all that, but right there in the middle of the desert, the sheep could graze on this soft, fresh grass. It's a feast. And even if there are enemies lurking around, like the coyotes, the foxes and all that, the shepherd is there to protect the sheep. And this is the picture of how God loves us and protects us. He prepares a banquet for us, even in the midst of everything that is surrounding us. He protects us from the midst of bad circumstances. He made a way out for us. He anoints our head with oil. And if we are bruised, we are hurt, He wraps in ointment to heal us. He heals our wound. He massages it. God will clean and take care of us. David also continued, "My cup runs over." In spite of everything, in spite of the enemies, the wounds of life, he has more than enough to get through. In fact, he has so much more that his cup actually overflows. God has more than enough grace to meet our, yours, every need. He said, His grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace around to you, abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And David concludes with, surely goodness and mercy, or some verses say loving kindness, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David could have used, hopefully, possibly, maybe, goodness will follow me. But no, David did not waver in his faith. He concluded with, certainly, surely, goodness will follow me. Goodness includes mercy, His loving kindness. Even in the valley of the darkest veil of shadow, God's mercy and God's goodness will hunt us down. And it says, follow me, it's like His mercy will pursue us, will hunt us, will chase after us. It will follow us. As a result, we want to dwell in God's presence forever. How is your walk with God? Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's your family. We can pray this prayer. Lord, may your mercy and loving kindness follow my family too, all the days of their life. If you know the power of Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, you will discover that God can meet all your needs, spiritual, directional, physical, emotional, eternal needs. The question is God your shepherd? Is God your shepherd? Do you have such an intimate relationship with Him? Do you allow Him to lead you, to direct your path? Or are you worried that His path is no good? It's too much. Psalms 23rd is read often in funeral. When I was in the hospital bed, God reminded me. When my grandmother was about to die, my dad read this passage. The Lord is our shepherd, my shepherd. Now, we all like the Marvel movies. And in one of the series, Superman was rescuing this man from a fire. And as both of them were flying up in the sky, the man was still trembling. And Superman asked him, "Why are you trembling?" And the man said, "I was afraid that I'm going to fall." And Superman said, "Do you not think that I have enough power to save you from the fire? That I have enough power to bring you home?" If we trust God, Jesus, to save us, do we not trust Him in every other area? Psalms 34, verse 9 and 10, it says, "Fear the Lord, you, His holy people, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing." Even though the lion, considered the king of the jungle, they grow weary, they go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. This is such a great promise of God. And David, at his last days, he said, I was young once, and now I am old. But he has never seen the righteous forsaken and the children begging bread. Let us pray. Oh God, your promises is so real. Lord, may we all be able to say, Yahweh is my shepherd. I lack nothing. If we are lacking anything this morning, if we do not have a personal relationship with you, may we come to you and recognize, God, we want this relationship with you. We want to make you our shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. God, help us to experience you so much so that we can, like David, echo the same words. I lack nothing.